like him, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, honor thy Lord, to be like him, all through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask to be like thee.
Dear Lord, we thank you this morning for your love, your kindness, and your faithfulness, having kept us all along the night, O Lord, having given us this morning with the sunshine and good weather to come in your house to worship and to fellowship with your people, O Lord. Now that we are gathered, Heavenly Father, let us forget about ourselves as we sing always, O Lord, and concentrate on you and worship you, O Lord. Let all our beings, soul, body, and mind be turn toward your word, O Lord, that we can surrender completely unto you the leadership, unto the authority of your word, that it can mold into us what you want us to become, O Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, let us not focus on the things of this world, because you said we should seek first the kingdom, and the rest you will take care of it, O Lord. Amen. Now that we are here reading your word and meditating upon these things, O Lord, let your spirit come and anoint and give us the inspiration and the understanding so that it will become life in us. Amen. We pray in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4. We greet you in the name of the precious Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's not easy when we are used to see people in a certain way, you know, when we are seated there. We know if I sit there, I'll see Brother Emil and I'll see Brother Sister Lillian somewhere here, but now I have to see, is she there? Okay, she's down there, you know. Sister Chipo, she used to be here, but now I have to make sure that it's not easy. You have to make some efforts to get used to people. Wherefore, from verse 8, wherefore he says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what it is but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. God bless the saints we are streaming in Ireland and abroad. May his mercy be upon us, that all the blessings that will be spread here be with you also. We are still on our topic, the ministry of the bride. Honestly, I didn't expect when I started it 2 Sundays ago that it would take even two preachings. I thought it was going to be just one lesson, and that was it. But these things, the time you just, start meditating on them, it's like doors are opening one after the other, and just starts, taking you without your own control. So I'm just surrendering to the way leadership of the Lord and see how it's going to help his people. So last week we were seeing at the edifying of the body of Christ, that it's Paul was comparing it with a building, that we are the blocks of the building, we are the stones of the building, and the ministers are the workmanship. They are the workers, the architects, the masons, the all the skilled man that will take those stones from their initial state to give them a shape so that they can fit into the building. Because the final aim is not to have a bunch of stones sitting there, but the final aim is to take those stones and make an edifice. And we saw that the work of the evangelist is to go out there and bring the stones. You know, it's not his business whether the stone is square or rectangular or whatever. He takes a stone and brings it. He cuts it off the mountain and brings it. It's now to the rest of the ministry to fashion those stones so that it will fit in its right position. In the work of fashioning the stone, it's not an easy work for some. To others, it's just something simple. The way they were, the way it was made, cut off the mountains, straight position into the body, it won't make any problem. But for some others, as I said, like us, like me, it took a cutting, you know. It took a cutting because the position God wanted us to occupy in the body, we were not, our shape didn't allow us to fit into that position. So various ministers has to take a sword and chisels and different various tools and start really not only cutting but fashioning. Because there's a difference between cutting and fashioning. Cutting may be just easy. They just go one stroke and you are done. But if they want to fashion you, to put you in a position, it will take, as Brother Barry Coffey was saying, you know, you, and then you look, no, it's not there yet. You go again, you look, it's not there yet. And it's not a pleasant experience. So that's why we were saying sometimes you find the minister very hard towards you. Another sister will wear the same skirt. The pastor won't say anything. But you will wear that skirt, the pastor will come after you and hit you seriously. Just understand that you are not made in the same way. Your body shapes are different.
Amen.
You are called to be in a certain position. Sometimes you are a singer. Sometimes you are a song leader. Sometimes, so your presentation, the way it has to be, is different from someone else. You know, like me, if I stand here and I come tomorrow like a Rasta man, you know, everybody will say, "What's going on with that brother?" You know. So that's why to give you your right position, it takes a process, and that process sometimes it can be a painful process. That's the work of the ministry. Today we are going to see the specificity of these ministries.
Amen.
Last week we started to show the evangelist. The prophet says, he is a man with a burning fire. You know, him, it's not his business. You are happy or not, he preaches the gospel.
Amen.
He goes there, he preaches. Those who accept, they come. He goes in another city. He goes in another town and preach, and people come. It's now the job of the rest of the ministry to take those people that came on their trousers, on their shorts, with their whiskeys, with their cigarettes, with their politics, with their Manchester United and everything.
Amen.
And make them to become important, useful members in the body.
Amen.
So the prophet speaks first about the apostle. We are going to see today just about the apostles. You know, God is so merciful. Yesterday, my wife knows, I was almost the whole day locked into my room, and I didn't get anything. Amen. I didn't get anything to preach today. But this morning, around 4 or 5, Amani started crying. So thanks to Amani. I woke up and gave him a bottle. He went back to sleep. I put him back on his bed. And then the inspiration came. Amen. So God is, his ways is sometimes difficult to understand. So the prophet says, and then we find, this is in the sermon, I didn't even take the title. It must be, God doesn't call man to judgment without first warning him.
Amen.
And then we find out the apostle is a special man. He's a setter in order. He's a man that sent from God to set the things in order.
Amen.
That's the definition the prophet gives of the apostle. So it's for a reason that Paul, God gave that inspiration to Paul to differentiate the different ministries.
Mm-hmm.
Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teachers, doctors.
Mm-hmm.
All this is just because one man or one ministry can't bring the whole body unto perfection.
Mm-hmm.
If we had only evangelists, the job will just come to convince people that the gospel is the truth. Jesus Christ was dead and he rose on the third day, and that was it. But to take them further, God needed different tools, different skills of people, different gifts that will take that person that was convinced by the truth of the gospel and start now leading them unto perfection.
Amen.
He says the apostle is a setter in order. From the definition, the word apostle, there's no difference between apostle and ambassador. It's someone who is sent. Is someone who is sent with a mission, is someone who knows the commission he has been given, and he goes there as a representative, as an ambassador. In the Bible, you'll see that the apostles, you know, the calling apostle started being, you know, currently It started to be on a daily usage after the death and the living of Jesus Christ. When they started the act of the apostles, then they started calling them currently apostles. Before they was called, they were called disciples.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. If you read your Bible, few places you'll see they're called apostles. Few places, but most of the time they were called disciples.
Amen.
Even Jesus, after his resurrection, he tells Mary, go and tell my disciples.
Amen.
All that time, they were disciples before they become apostles.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. There's a good difference to make there. A disciple is a student.
Amen.
They were called first to become to be students. Because before you become an ambassador, before you become an apostle, you have to know what you are going to tell there.
Amen.
You are going to represent Ireland in the Philippines. You don't know what Ireland is about. How will you make the Filipino people to love Ireland? How will you make them to become the fans or the supporters of Ireland? You need first to be a disciple. That's why an ambassador will be trained first from junior cycle, primary school, secondary school, university, and then they don't take you just from university, they send you to be an ambassador. You have to start as a civil servant, you know, a lower class civil servant, and then you start climbing in grades and status in position. After a certain while, when they are sure that you have become a good representative of the United States,
Amen. Then
they send you, because they can't send you to Iraq or Afghanistan to represent the United States if you are just a second-class citizen.
Mm.
Amen? Yeah. So that's why this discipleship was important for the apostles. They had to become the ambassadors. To become the ambassadors, it took Jesus 3.5 years.
Amen.
Even after these 3.5 years, when he died, he came back. He saw that they were not ready yet to become the ambassadors. After his resurrection, he kept teaching them again, giving them their commissions,
to be the true and faithful representative of the kingdom. That's what an ambassador, that's what an apostle is. And the commission now was, since you have been disciples, since you have been trained, since you have showed that you are worthy and faithful to be true representatives of the kingdom, now in Matthew 28, he gives them now a commission. You will be now my ambassadors. You'll be my apostles. But what is the commission? Matthew 28, from verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. This is now the commissioning. Is showing them that you have all my backing. You have all my power. I have all power. Now I send you to do what? I don't really like this King James Version. It's a places, you know. That places doesn't really... Because when I read my French Bible, I feel more closer to God than when I read the... Brother Greg, don't you feel the same? Because this verse 19, in other English versions, he says it like in French. Say, in the King James, he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. But in the New International Version, it says, like in French, it says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. They have been themselves disciples, but now the commission now is to go and make more disciples. Go and make, because you have been disciples. You have been sitting under the influence of the master himself. You have been taught of the things of the kingdom. You are now the, you know, the correct and good true representatives of the kingdom. Go and make more disciples. That's what an apostle is. Because there seems to be a confusion between what an apostle and evangelist is. An evangelist is someone who just go and preach and convince people and they get converted and he leaves and go. But an apostle has to make those people disciples. Amen. Amen. An apostle have to sit with those people and make them disciples. Amen. Start to teach them of the things of the kingdom. Amen. Amen. An apostle is not someone who flies from place to place. No. An apostle, if you see the first apostles, they were there teaching, setting things in order in people's life. Right. It's not only in church, but they had to talk to take those people that came from paganism, from Judaism, from any way of lives, and make them disciples of Christ. Amen. It's a work that will take some time. Amen. You have to sit at places Paul sat for years, just trying to show, to see how they are doing. Even when he had left, he will go and write to the Corinthians. How are you doing? That's an apostle. He'll write to the Philippians, to the Galatians. How are you doing there? When I was with you, I told you this, 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 and that. How are you doing? I send you Timothy. I send you Sosthene. I send you such and such. Because that's what an apostle is. Amen. To make disciples. Amen. Amen. Because it's just a pity to see that today, you know, we are, I don't know how to put it, but people tend to use these things, you know, to say, I'm an apostle, but we have to abide with the definition and make every ministry work according to the way God has ordained it, you know. An apostle, his job, his ministry. Another term for apostle is a missionary. Amen. Is an ambassador, is a missionary. And a missionary is someone who goes to stay. An ambassador to Ireland from Zimbabwe is someone, he doesn't live in Zimbabwe saying, I'm an ambassador to Ireland. He doesn't live in Botswana saying, I'm an ambassador. No, an ambassador of Zimbabwe to Ireland has his siege in Ireland. He sits there and his role is to make Ireland to love Zimbabwe. His job is to make forums, is to call the economic operators to come and tell them about Zimbabwe. At the end of that forum, the businessman will go out and say, I want to go and invest in Zimbabwe. I want to go and live in Zimbabwe. That was an ambassador is. That's what a disciple is. Make people, teach them, make them disciple, make them fans, supporters of the country he has been sent from.
Amen.
Right. Amen. So, but nowadays we see people hiding behind these are things that's happening in the message, I'm an apostle. But we are starting to confront apostleship and business. People go from place to place, instead of being apostle, opening, starting a ministry, opening churches or whatever, to make disciples, people are opening now branch offices. Amen? People are now hiding behind this notion of apostle to open branch offices, being the great manager and going there. It's just about money now. I go there. Have you made them disciples? Or you have just opened something and leave it. You are now a big manager just on the phone. Now we have phone apostles now. Apostleship is going and making disciples. And the best way to be a missionary, let's read, the prophet puts it. How can you say, I live here and go an ambassador, I want to be an apostle, I want to convert the people, I don't know, in Chile or in Cambodia. While in your own village, people have never heard the gospel. Amen. People have never heard the gospel. What's that God that will send you only to go and especially people want to be apostles in the prospering countries, economically prospering countries. That's where they go and say, I'm an apostle, and make there and there and there. But in your village, people don't want to hear about the gospel. The prophet says this. The prophet is showing us how God wants this ministry of missionary or apostle to operate. The perfect way for God. Amen. The perfect will not always be, the easy to achieve, but this is how God wants it to be done. He says, recently in Africa, where we had one of our greatest campaigns, had 100,000 people out there and had 30,000 converts one afternoon. 30,000 at one time. And in those, some of those raw heathens breaking their mud idols on the ground and receiving the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior. Now, don't wait for a missionary to come. You take the same message and go to the tribes where the white man can't even go.
Amen.
And I got a message back in there. That's from one tribe. He says, one of the men that went out, which was a heathen, one day, and the next day went out and baptized up to as many as 1,000 a week, baptizing his native friends as many as 1,000 a week in Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what it is. Don't wait to educate a missionary to go in. Let the man take the message to his own people. Amen. Amen. That's the right way God wants it to be done. It's easier for someone to preach to his own people. Let the man, he says, it's hard for a white man to go down there in the tribes, down there in the jungles of Africa. But let the native take the message to his own people. That's our commission. Where you are, try to take it to your own people. You have seen it here. We have been on the streets there trying to do, speak. But when we got the sister from Carlo, what's her name again? Sister Pauline. When we got Sister Pauline, have you seen how many Irish people became interested, even in hearing what we were saying? But if we were only me and Brother David and Brother Wilmo standing there, we'll still try to do something, but it's easier for a native to take the message to his own people. The prophet carries on saying, Brother Toms is here from South Africa. I met him the other day. He's doing a great work over there amongst the natives. Reason I kind of like Brother Toms' program is because the program that he talks of and his God operation, he and Brother Tommy Osborne, is what I think is right. Worthy of support because he is sending out native missionaries. You see, after all, the native knows more about the native. And we could send a fellow from Australia here. He would be a brother. We'd love him, accept him, and everything, but he don't know the American customs. The American ways. It takes an American to do this job right. And what if we'd send somebody here from China? Why? He's a missionary, but probably he could speak a little English. It would be all chopped up. And it just wouldn't take effect like a man who knows how to get onto the American. To work with the Americans, to do in their custom and so forth. And that's the way it goes. Amen? That's the way it goes. We are missionaries, that's right. But the more effective way to do it, you go to Bangladesh, get a Bangladi converted, and get him to convert his brethren. Amen? It's easier to get that man from the country to convert his brethren. The prophet keeps on saying it. See, you have to be accustomed to the northerners. You have to be accustomed. And I think a native, knowing their own customs and their own tribe, is a far better way than far better person to put with their own people than all the tailor-made that we have. You understand? I'm going to read the last one quickly. It's time. He said, and Brother Tom is a missionary to the natives in Africa, and I think they are making arrangements to give him an offering for his native mission out over there. After being there myself, of course, knowing just what it really means to be a missionary, I think the type of mission to Brother Tom has, See, the first thing, the native is just a little suspicious of the white man when he comes, to begin with. But Brother Tom has the idea that the Lord gave years ago. He says, there was an old native man who was saying, if I would have known Jesus when I was young, I would have took him to my people. Now that was right. See, the first thing, the white man can't even go where the native can go. He can't live on the same things. And I thought, get the native saved, and let the native do the missionary work himself. That's what Brother Tom's going to do. Amen. Amen. Get the native converted and let him do the job for his people. That's the ideal that God wants this job of the ministry of the apostle to operate. It's good. It's not what we are doing is fine. You know, we come to Ireland. There's no believers in Ireland. We are working. We are trying to. We can be missionaries in Ireland. There's no wrong in it. But if you live, I don't know, in a town in Bulawayo, your people is not converted, but you just want to go to Japan to convert the Japanese people. That's the problem.
That's
amen. That's the problem. Start by converting your own people.
Amen.
You leave them unconverted, and you want to convert the Japanese. You don't even eat the same food. You don't know how to hold their sticks the way they hold it. Amen. Because most of these talks, they go well around food, you know. When you are seated on a table with nice food there and eating, and then you are preaching the gospel to people. With the food and the sweetness of the good food and the gospel, it goes easily. But you don't even know how to handle their things. They'll be looking at you as a weird person. It's not easy to preach to those people. I know Brother Andrew was talking about once a brother in the message. We went in one of the Arab countries. First time he failed to convert the people because he went as a Westerner, you know, tie, suits, and nice everything. He went there, they didn't want to listen to him. But when he went back to America, he said, no. Those people, to be called the man of God, you need to have a long beard. Mm-hmm. Amen. You need to have a long beard. Because from the moment you have a long beard, they start giving you a little credit that you can speak from God. But if you come with your tie and everything, how can this man, a sinner, speak to us about God? The brother went back, grew his beard, and wore, I don't know what they have to put on the head, and he wore a robe like them, and he started speaking their language. And when he came this time, they could at least open a door for him to listen to him. And that's the way he converted them. Amen. Okay, that's what we had to say about the apostle ministry. Next time, we're going to see the other ministries. Lord, we thank you for these things. Bless your people. We have listened. Let these things become really something that we will build upon. Let us surrender under the leadership of these ministries you have established. And let these ministries lead us to perfection as your servant, the Apostle Paul, said it. We commit the rest of the service in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you.